We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
ESPN Upstate presents Straight Up with Sturge with Mark Sturgis. Served up by Smoke on the Water, 1 Augusta Street in beautiful downtown Greenville.
Please.
Call 844-GSP-ESPN. Interact now. Text 47183 or hit us up at ESPNUpstate.com.
Listen in Greenville at 105.9 FM. Martinburg at 97.1 FM. Yeah!
And now, Straight Up with Sturge on ESPN Upstate.
All right, welcome in to a Tuesday edition of Straight Up with Sturge. Price Atkinson and I... Price, can we say we're on a secret location today that is really, really, really cool?
We have to keep it a secret?
I guess so, because you never know who may come crash the event. So, lastly, you want to get us in the bad graces of our bosses, have about 100 people show up where we are today at a special location that here at the end of the show, we will talk about this place because I am amazed at what the changes have been done here. And, listen, they're getting... back in service, and this is going to be a lot of fun here for a long time to come. But in between, we're going to talk a lot about the football that's going on. Major League Baseball playoffs start this week, and we'll do a couple of interviews. Price, at 420, Brad Crawford, the SEC editor and lead writer for 24/7 Sports, is going to join us. And then at 505, Jake Rowe, who covers Georgia for 24/7 Sports, is going to join us, because one thing we now have to pay attention. Yes, it is South Carolina Georgia week, and that's always a big week here in this border rivalry, but little Mother Nature may be coming in to affect some things, which includes whether they'll be able to get this game in Columbia, which I say no, just simply in the fact that you're going to have, they're evacuating as of 3 p.m. tomorrow afternoon over 1 million people from the Lowcountry. Yeah, you know, emergency systems and support are going to be thin in the first place, much less, you know, 80-something thousand people coming in for a South Carolina football game. So, you know, it sucks that this the location may be changed, but in all honesty, I'm not sure there's another alternative if this thing continues on its present track.
Yeah, and especially when you consider they're going to start reversing lanes out of Charleston going north on 26. And so you're not going to have people funneling from – you know, the upstate south into the Columbia region on 26 for a football game when you're trying to get, what, 1 million people out of the Lowcountry and, you know, the Grand Strand area. You've got to get people out of there. You can't have that converge right there in Columbia. So I'll be shocked. I don't think there's any way this football game is played on Saturday in Columbia. If anything, maybe Friday. Something tells me the Georgia Dome might be the top candidate on Saturday.
If not, and listen, nobody wants to go play back-to-back years in Athens, but if that is an alternative, then what they need to request is flip next year's game in Athens back to Columbia. But listen, safety of civilians and what could be potentially a very hazardous situation, quite frankly, has to take precedent over any of the fans or anybody else's wishes, because, you know, we have seen here in this state that, by God, you know, Mother Nature can wreak havoc, and it can affect this place for a long, long time ahead. So, prices, you've heard me say a few times in the last couple of weeks, here's what you do. You prepare for the worst and hope for the best and hope that life gets back to normal very, very quickly in that lower part of the state, because it's more or less from like Sumter down that's going to be affected. So, and by that I mean by, you know, school closings and evacuations and things of that nature. So that's when you know it's starting to get a little bit more serious.
Yeah, they've already closed schools in a host of counties down in the Lowcountry and the PD and the Grand Strand starting tomorrow. School closed for the rest of the week. The good news is, with Hurricane Matthew coming this way, the latest track that I saw here this afternoon had it a little bit actually further off the coast,
yep,
not literally almost skirting the shoreline, which it looked like, but it is supposed to decrease in strength as it gets closer.
Yeah, and that's the thing, you know, is people say, well, this sounds like an ice storm or a threat of snow in the upstate. That's one thing when you can hunker down in your house and maybe something doesn't happen, but when you maybe, you know, it gets to a point where it gets too late, you know, yeah, and when it becomes too late and it becomes too late for the emergency personnel, then all those individuals and civilians are strictly at the mercy of God. So, you know, it's different than, you know, everybody going and buying milk and bread at the grocery store because there may be snow on Friday.
Yeah, that's exactly right, because this is one of those things where, you know, if you were around during Hurricane Hugo, I mean, I remember being up here when I was, I think, in middle school at the time, and that we felt the effects easily up here, and mm-hmm, I think we probably will as well, more in the form of high winds and a gusty day.
Just take maybe some not, rain.
It doesn't sound like we're maybe going to get very little, if any, of that. But, you know, yeah, it's not the same as an ice storm. This is one where if they're telling you to get out and evacuate, you get the heck out because you don't know when you're coming back in.
That is true. That is true. So, listen, we'll talk more. Maybe Jake Rowe from Georgia that covers the Dogs for 24/7 Sports here in the next hour might have a little bit more info on it. And again, variables are going to change here over the next 48 hours. So that's the thing about it. Even though tracks are this, those things can change at any moment. And that's why you got to be cautious about it. Otherwise, it was a press conference Tuesday here in the Palmetto State Price. Dabo Swinney, Will Muschamp meeting with the media. Well, you know, one of the biggest things, first of all, they're very, very happy at Clemson. It was a tough night, Saturday night. They pull out the win. You know, it can be debated whether that's the best win in college football so far this year. However, what we have to go by are the rankings themselves. And, you know, Clemson's got the highest, you know, 5-3. That's the most powerful game so far this year. So they get to reap the benefits as they moved up to number 3 in both of the polls. But, you know, this week's a little different test at Boston College. The players were talking about, you know, the fans may forget about the Eagles, but we won't, because one year in, year out against Boston College, it's one of the more physical tests the Tigers face.
Yeah, it no doubt about it. It is Steve Adazio's team. You know, that's a physical bunch. And, you know, they did take one on the chin, a couple weeks ago? 49?
They got blown out 54-17 at Virginia Tech.
That's, yeah. I mean, just a – I think this Boston College team right now is certainly behind where they were in the past couple seasons. They lost a lot on defense. I think up front is – and this is uncharacteristic to say of a Steve Adazio coach team. I think that's where they're struggling, because Patrick Toles, the transfer quarterback out of Kentucky – he's been solid so far. John Hillman in the backfield has not run the ball as effectively as he has in the last couple of years. He's kind of like Ralph Webb, really not appreciated for what he's done during his tenure. You know, Ralph Webb at Vanderbilt, but now John Hillman, I'm referring to at Boston College, really hadn't been appreciated just by simply the fact he hadn't played on a very successful team. And really a lot of his stuff has been, you know, tough going. So, you know, I think that Boston College struggling, but I think this is also a game where Clemson's going to have to come ready, not because Boston College is going to give them their best shot, just it's going to be a sterile environment, sterile atmosphere, coming off that kind of weekend that Clemson is coming off. I expect a potentially fairly flat performance out of Clemson, at least out of the gate in the first quarter.
And then the other thing is Coach Sweeney, you know, he went out on a little bit of a limb earlier today, Price, and the fact that he made no bones about it. How you like that, Diesel? My first day back, I'm getting ready to get to you here in a little bit, but he made no bones about the fact that he is not hip to playing on Friday night. And I agree, that's a shame that you had to sell, what, 3 games to the ACC for them to broadcast on a Friday night. And, of course, you're going to do it at Boston College in one of those 3 games, just simply in the fact that, you know, nobody cares up there about Boston College. And I hate to say it that way, but it's the truth. But also, you know, this puts them a week behind on the recruiting trail because they can't get coaches out to games. And then number 3, you know, sometimes it stinks being a parent and you can't go watch your team, your son's play on a Friday night, which is the case with Daniel Football with Dabo Swinney. But you don't like it, you speak up. He did it today. They'll go do their service for the conference on Friday. But you know what? As good as a game we had last Friday night with Stanford at Washington. I agree. High school football is sacred for Friday nights. And, you know, we've used this, the feeder system for college. Guess you got to get those games out there. But, man, it bothers me when you have to make a decision not to go see somebody play on a Friday night at high school level.
Well, it does. But, you know, at the same time,
TV money.
It's all about TV. And you know as well as I do, and with all due respect to these programs about the name, but it really doesn't matter if you're playing on a Saturday or Friday at Syracuse, Boston College, yep, Wake Forest, even I throw Duke in the mix. Hey, there's just some schools in the Atlantic Coast Conference where it doesn't matter. You're not it will not affect the gate one bit playing on, say, a Thursday or Friday compared to a Saturday like it would at Clemson.
And you get that TV money out of the deal.
Yeah. Yep. So,
but not everybody's got a high school team that they pull for. No, not everybody's got a son who plays high school football. So there are plenty of people who just don't go to high school football games on a Friday night. So they're going to sit home and maybe catch whatever game just so happens to be on.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, especially in the Northeast, like at a Syracuse or Boston
right.
College.
I get that. I get that. But, you know, some
got to make those budgets somehow.
Listen, it's all about the money, not yep. complaining. I mean, that's just realistically what it is. But speaking about something, Diesel, right before we get out to break, you popped some info on me. App State has decided for homecoming, no homecoming queen, no homecoming king.
Yeah, really? I got to dig into this a little bit more to fully understand it. And I retweeted it if anybody wants to find the direct article. Something in terms of not having gender specific competition is some super wafty, super wussy, wussification of America situation going on.
I mean, come on, we can't turn our back on all our traditions. You know what I mean? Homecoming queen has been part of homecoming for 100 years, if not longer. Really?
Shouldn't yeah, now? Okay. You know what they should do?
Sorry, I got issues with this.
You know what they should do? The football team should declare the football stadium a safe space for their own traditions. You know, because there's this whole trend of we got to have a safe space so that you can't offend anybody in this space. Ooh. Why doesn't the football team declare the football stadium and what they do there a safe space against all those idiots? Just troll
Could
them at their
be an
own
interesting
game.
Interesting resolution there.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. Coming up next, again, we're going to talk some SEC football with Brad Crawford of 24/7 Sports. He is the SEC editor. And again, 505 Jake Rowe that covers the Georgia Bulldogs. But in between, we'll take your phone calls. We'll talk a lot of football, some other things. And sometime down the line, guys, I heard so much about Name That Tom yesterday. I'm going to be your victim today. Is that fair, Diesel?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right, this is Straight Up with Sturge. We're on a secret location here in Greenville. Is a corporate function going on. But again, we'll get after it with Brad Crawford. Talk a bunch of various SEC things. Nothing took place in that league this week. It's Straight Up with Sturge. Continues live on ESPN Upstate.
Talk at 844-GSP-ESPN.
Text 47183.
Connect at ESPNUpstate.com.
It's Straight Up with Sturge.
Greenville, 105.9 FM and 1330 AM. Spartanburg, 97.1 FM and 950 AM. Straight Up with Sturge is on the air on ESPN Upstate.
All right, welcome back in. Diesel's back at the ESPN Upstate Studios connecting with Brad Crawford. But, Price, one thing that's caught my attention today as I kind of got back online with some things is all this drama, if you will, angst, if you will, at East Carolina. They had, like, what, 29 members of their band or 19? I remember it's something nine, nil during the national anthem on Saturday. Did you see the response the East Carolina Pirate Marching Band got when they came on the field at halftime?
I did not.
I mean, people standing on their feet booing at the top of their lungs.
Wow.
What a crazy.
I did hear about it, but I didn't see it.
What's the responsibility there? Because chances are those kids are on music scholarship. Therefore, they're required to perform in the marching band. Is that not their responsibility to get up there and maybe take a look at doing things the right way? Now, they have announced today, guess what? It won't happen again, but, you know, it's already happened once.
Yeah.
So, all right, we'll get back to that. Let's go to the phones. Brad Crawford from 24/7 Sports is joining us. He is the SEC editor, lead writer. And, Brad, hope you're having a good Tuesday afternoon.
Hey, man, thanks for having me. I'm trying to wrap my mind around this thing here in Fayetteville. You know, I live in Fayetteville, and it just came out that the I guess the CEO/owner of the local ESPN affiliate here, you know, doesn't want to broadcast any more Pirates games.
Or the way it was sent to me a little while ago is they're going to do a one-game protest of the protest and then plan on doing it. But you want to talk about endearing your heart to your fan base? Listen, this is playing up to that Fort Bragg a little bit, so I don't have any problems with that. I just hate that this is what we're talking about in today's day and age when it comes to marching band members on a sports talk show. Is that fair?
It is fair. You know, I mean, whether it's coaching carousel or all these protests that followed Kaepernick, most of the conversation this season has not been on the field.
Yeah, and again, that's what. Let's start with a little bit off the field, Brad. We're starting to hear word here in the Upstate when the evacuation from the coast of South Carolina is on tomorrow. It starts at 3 p.m. That's obviously going to affect the location of that Georgia-South Carolina game. I can't feasibly see how you can have that many evacuees from the coast and a game going on. What you hearing at this point?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. You know, what we've been told is the Georgia Dome could be on the table for a possible Friday night game. Georgia State does play Texas State on Saturday at 3:30, so I don't think that game could be played Saturday. The Atlanta Falcons are playing the Denver Broncos out west this weekend, so the Georgia Dome would be open, you know, Friday night or Sunday afternoon. The one problem there, though, would be if they do play that game Friday night, you'd have a lot of Gamecock fans who travel to Atlanta. And then they'd have travel issues back home. The storm's going to hit hard Friday night. And, you know, any fans leaving Atlanta after that game and traveling on the interstate or coming home Saturday morning would be in the thick of things.
Brad Price Atkinson here. Great to have you back on the show. I know it's been a while, but it's always awesome when we get a chance to catch up with you. And, you know, it's don't know exactly how things are going to unfold with the game Saturday, where, if, regarding Georgia and South Carolina. But, I mean, you used to cover the Gamecocks regularly through Saturday down south, and now is the SEC editor and writer for 24/7 Sports. What's your impressions of this Will Muschamp team so far? They look good at times. I think got off to a great start, maybe surprised a lot of Gamecock fans with maybe the way this season could go. I know struggled a bit. Brandon McElwain really had a tough day last Saturday. What do you think the strides so far this Gamecock team has made in the early era of Will Muschamp?
Yeah, I think thus far through 5 weeks, you know, the defense is better than expected in the early going. Offensive line has obviously underperformed. I mean, if you watch film in the last three games, I mean, there's been times where just the Gamecocks have been pushed off the ball just several consecutive possessions. And in my opinion, that's what's leading to a lot of these three and outs. Now, I will say Brandon McElwain maybe you know, doesn't really have control of the offense like most Gamecock reporters and media members thought he would. Perry Orth obviously played well in that opener and deserved to start a second game of the season at Mississippi State. But when McElwain has been in the game, no matter if he's had a pass rush in his face or not, he just kind of looked like a deer in headlights to me. Really hadn't played with much confidence. I think we're going to see Orth mostly this weekend against Georgia. Obviously, he has a chance to. You know, he's the guy right now who gives the Gamecocks a downfield threat. That's been the biggest issue thus far. Obviously, injuries to Debo Samuel and Brian Edwards have really damaged this offense that really hasn't been able to run the ball either. So, right now, defense better than expected. And I don't know, 2-3 is about where I thought South Carolina would be. I mean, I did think in order to get to 6-6 into a bowl game this season, they need to go 3-1 in September. And that loss at Kentucky really damaged things.
As we're talking with Brad Crawford, SEC editor, writer at 24/7 Sports. Follow Brad on Twitter at bcrawford247. And, of course, Brad, we find out today that Lorenzo Nunez will, in fact, redshirt for the Gamecocks. But, you know, is trying to find a way to jumpstart this South Carolina offense. Brandon McElwain struggling. Perry Orth, you know, he can get the job done at times, shows flashes. What are your thoughts on Jake Bentley? Do you think he's going to get a chance to show what he can do, or do you think this is going to be a situation where they're going to try and keep a red shirt on him at all cost?
Yeah, you know, being that we're almost near the midway point now, I think you're right in that assertion that, you know, the goal right now for that coaching staff is to keep him on the bench, redshirt him, kind of you know, coax him into being the quarterback of the future, so to speak. Everything I've been told by our Gamecock reporters on the ground who are practice every day, you know, they tell me Jake Bentley is naturally, you know, talented, best quarterback South Carolina has on roster. You know, he's going to be a guy who probably wins the job next season. I think a lot of Gamecocks, like I mentioned, thought Brandon McElwain could be a guy, kind of a stopgap for the offense, a unit that really struggled on third down last year. Look at this year's numbers. I mean, last game against A&M, they were 3-for-14 on the money down. I thought they had a lot of opportunities to get back in that game, possibly win the game. Just couldn't make a play on third down, and that's been a major issue. I think Jake Billings is a guy who, you know, he may not be the running threat that Brandon McElwain is, but he's a guy, obviously, who can get the ball past the sticks and keep drives alive. When the Gamecocks offense does well, you know, it's a manageable unit that gets a lot of first downs, and that's just something the Gamecock offense has not done this season.
Brad, let me ask you, of course, Tennessee and Georgia, the last 10 seconds of that game is about like nothing I've seen in a long, long time. But Tennessee hits the road to Texas A&M this week. 3 weeks from now, Alabama rolls in to Knoxville at Neyland Stadium. How imperative is it for Tennessee to back up what they've done so far this year with at least one win against those two SEC West stalwarts?
Yeah, I think it's very critical. I think Tennessee, in my estimation, you know, I'd put money down on Tennessee winning the East, pretty much locking up the East if they win in College Station Saturday. That's a major game for me in that regard. I think if they go 0-2, still a wide open race in the East. You know, by beating Florida and Georgia, Tennessee pretty much got a 2-game lead on both of those programs. Florida hosts LSU Saturday. If the Gators lose that game and Tennessee wins at A&M, the East is wrapped up. And you know, Tennessee, the second half of that schedule, as tough as this first half has been, the second half is just as easy. So, you know, I think the Vols right now are sort of a team of destiny. You know, the first 3 weeks of the season, you know, we've kind of had doubt with Tennessee, but Josh Dobbs, the second half of the Florida game and throughout the Georgia game, has really transitioned into the playmaking senior quarterback many of us thought he would be this season. And if he plays well Saturday, Tennessee can certainly win that football game.
All right, final question before we let you go. Have you seen an ending like that? And finally, how, you know, Georgia fans, is this not the risk you take when you are hiring a coordinator that's never been a head coach? You have to expect some things are not completely buttoned down, and this is a learning experience for Kirby Smart and his staff.
I tell you what, man, that Hail Mary. So when Jacob Eason threw that pass to Ridley, really one of the best throws I've seen all season. I kind of jumped up and down, made some sounds, and woke the baby up. She starts crying. So then about a minute later, Josh off through the Hail Mary, you know, I kind of had a subdued celebration to get her quiet. But that was a heck of an ending. You know, we saw Auburn a couple of years ago have several endings like that, and they eventually made a national championship game. You know, will Tennessee get that far? We don't know yet, but getting back to Kirby Smart, you know, he's a batted down Hail Mary away from being, you know, 4-1 right now, ranking the top 15. I thought the Ole Miss game for Georgia was an unwinnable game this season, no matter who was coaching the Bulldogs this season. Road game at Ole Miss, and, you know, just a bad matchup for Georgia. Secondary has really underperformed, but right now, no running game for the Bulldogs is the reason they're 3-2, in my opinion. Nick Chubb banged up.
All right.
Sonny Michelle still hurt, so.
All right, Brad, last question for me, and then we'll let you go. Yesterday I made a case, and while it is a long shot, for Ed Orgeron to keep the LSU job. Certainly he's going to have the chance to earn his keep with what the Tigers have ahead. But give me your thoughts. Who do you think remains in place as the head coach of their respective team, interim or not? Gus Malzahn at Auburn at the end of the season or Ed Orgeron at LSU?
I think that there's a better chance of Orgeron keeping the LSU job probably by default. And that's as long as Texas hires Tom Herman. You know, that's kind of the big, I'm going to be a free agent fish out there. You know, if I'm the Longhorns AD and the Texas brass, I'm going to make a call to Herman and just ask him what he wants. And if for some reason he tells me no, I'm going to make it a yes, because he's the guy who can, you know, bring Texas back to a top five program. I think Orgeron has a great chance that if he beats Alabama, all of a sudden you've got Joe Oliva, the LSU AD, you know, wanting to keep him. So I think last week Orgeron, you know, showed for four quarters what that offense can do if they just have a little bit of a spread action. And, you know, they played very well, almost 700 yards of total offense. So he's got a great opportunity there in Baton Rouge.
Well, listen, Brad, as always, we appreciate your time. And, of course, we encourage all our listeners to go follow you on Twitter at bcrawford247 and check out y'all's coverage at 24/7 Sports. Thank you for your time here on this Tuesday afternoon.
Thanks a lot, man.
All right.
Thanks, Brad.
When we come back, has Price's dysfunction officially creeped into the Big 12 Conference? Because what went down this morning may send the signal that, watch out, we may have some changes coming up. So when we come back, of course, we have open phones, 844-GSP-ESPN. But we'll also talk about this Big 12 dysfunction as well. It's Straight Up with Sturge. We're live on ESPN Upstate.
Sports talk for Upstate South Carolina.
You're getting the straight scoop.
Greenville, 105.9 FM and 1330 AM.
Spartanburg,
97.1 FM and 950 AM.
On Straight Up with Sturge.
Mark Sturgis.
ESPN Upstate.
So a lot of college football starts. I believe we got Wednesday night college football this week, Price. And
usually by the time the calendar year turns to Wednesday in October, that's when we got football.
Yep. So anyway, Tuesday MAC action, whatever. Of course, Diesel's got to be flying high. They get a win, does App State this past weekend. But South Alabama, real quickly before we go to the phones, Diesel, boy, did the USA Jaguars deliver another one for the Sun Belt,
you know,
because they take out the longest winning streak in college football, San Diego State, this past weekend.
You know, I don't know. I know this is the first time San Diego State's ever been ranked. I'm fairly certain of that. I would like to see a stat on how many teams were knocked out in their first week of ever being ranked. So you get ranked for the first time ever and then lose that week.
Well, guess what?
San Diego State had a bye.
You got that Google machine. Look that one up. We'll go to the phone lines and see what Delvin has to say on this Tuesday. Delvin, welcome in.
Thank you guys for having me. How y'all doing today?
Man, we're getting ready to have a lot of fun here in a little while, so I can promise you that much.
Yeah, a couple things with college football. First of all, about the Georgia Carolina game, I agree with you guys. It needs to be moved, but like you said, your guest said earlier, if you moved to Georgia Dome, I thought about that. You got traffic in this day. You don't want people going to travel. So could that actually move to Sunday?
I think that's a definite possibility. And listen, if I'm a South Carolina fan, Price, and I go over to Georgia, Atlanta to see the game, why not just stay there for a couple of days and see what you got to go back to and let the Midlands kind of clear out with the evacuees? I mean, of course, that's if you can afford to do so.
Yeah, it's just there's so many moving parts in here. What is the right decision? I don't think it's going to be a matter of right decision. I think you're going to just try and make the best decision where you can, A, have this game played, affect as few people as possible, while still trying to help South Carolina because it is a home gate. It is a home game for them.
Yeah, and my second thing, I'll let y'all go with this. What do you think about the comments? Lamar Jackson said that Clemson defense wasn't all that hard and stuff.
Hey, listen, he felt like they had a good – listen, they carved Clemson up for, what, five or six consecutive possessions. But you know what? To the victor goes the spoils, and Clemson gets the W.
Does that sound like taking a little bit of a parting shot on your way out?
Could be. Listen, that was an emotional game. And first of all, that's why you have to kind of keep in contact. Those guys are still wired up once they go meet with the media and – don't always say exactly what they hope to, but anyway. Clemson had, 36 points put on him, so he did as much as anybody else, Price.
Well, I mean, in the heat of the battle and you lose a close game like that, you know, you're going to say some things you might not mean, but also, there was a lot going on that field. You know, people, are saying, Ben Boulware, choke or not to choke. A lot of people think he should have been booted from the football game. I didn't see any kind of blatant, this is a malicious choking, send him packing on behalf of Ben Boulware on the replays, because I went back and watched it. Did he hold on too long around the neck? Yeah, on the pile, but that wasn't a warranted ejection, in my opinion. So, I mean, there was just a lot going on that field. And I tell you, you know, Lamar Jackson, he got up, and maybe some of that was basically directed at Ben Boulware in particular, because, you know, when he got up and he did not get a whistle after he was held down on the ground by Boulware, he was livid. He was absolutely livid.
But you know what? We've dealt with Ben Boulware on multiple occasions, and he said, listen, I'll go ahead and apologize if anybody thought it was a dirty play. But he said, while he was trying to drive forward, I was grabbing onto anything I could to keep it from him. And he said, you know, there were punches thrown. It was a football game. And, you know, everybody wants to turn around and make everything little thing. You know, there was a lot of chippiness on both sides of the football an emotional
football
game.
There's no doubt. I mean, there were late hits taken. There were shots being taken that were questionable,
couple of punches
out of bounds.
Thrown.
You know, I don't think it was a situation that was dirty or malicious and ejectionable on behalf of Boulware. I think, like you said, that was a pile. He's trying to grab onto whatever he can and hold him back so he doesn't go an inch further, because that dude, you saw what kind of wiggle room that guy's got. You don't need to give Lamar Jackson a crease.
Yeah, they were fighting for yardage there. So, again, guess what? It's football. People are going to get hit. People are going to get smack talked. And when you need to, you'll grab onto anything. Don't think for a moment that what you don't see at the bottom of a pile, that's not one of the dirtiest things that you'll ever engage in your life, Diesel. And that's I'm sure you played some football. Hey, man, when the went out of view, anything's fair. So, all right. But what are you thinking about this earlier today? Let me just read this, because, Price, this one kind of slipped through the cracks that I think is going to be a huge game changer. The Big 12 is not expected to extend its grant of rights, the contract that essentially keeps the conference together, no matter the outcome of expansion talks, CBS Sports has learned. Multiple sources through the expansion process have mentioned that for Texas and Oklahoma alone, it is difficult to find support to extend the grant of rights past its current expiration in 2025. Those two schools are thought to have the most conference options when the 13-year, $2.6 billion media rights contract with ESPN and Fox expires in 8 years. I think this sets up if, hey, man, you don't leave us alone and leave our money alone, we will go join another conference once this thing goes, because they have now made the fool, they have now made Bob Bowlesby and that Big 12 office look foolish with all this. We're going to vet candidates, narrow it to six, blah, 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 blah. Now it is, if you expand, we're gone.
All right, here's the deal. The Big 12 had the opening right now, and you can throw all kinds of litigation, roadblocks that are legal in nature in front of the Big 12. There's ways around that. You know what? And it's called money. But this window, the Big 12 opened this window themselves this summer at their conference meetings to look into expansion, because that's what the data was telling them they needed to do. And I think we all agree that's what the Big 12 needs to do. But here's the deal. If they lose this window and they do not act in the manner that they should, which everybody I think agrees that expansion is in the best interest of the conference, and I don't mean just in the best interest. I mean, if they don't expand, I think the Big 12 is gone. And here's why. The SEC should take this opening right now. Go get Kansas, Oklahoma, make them your teams 15 and 16. You add one of the football powers, a basketball power, game, set, match. It's the beginning of your 4-16 team power conferences. The SEC's done and will just sit back, because they typically have beaten everybody to the punch. I'm not trying to stick the SEC's chest out here. I'm just saying the track record speaks for itself when it comes to acting, and the SEC is at the forefront.
I mean, the original expansion going to the college, going to the championship game, but here's the deal. You have now allowed two schools and administrators and athletic directors, I mean presidents and athletic directors, to embarrass your conference as a whole publicly by not signing off on this, which means they're pretty much telling the rest of that league, you either do what we want or we're going to take our ball and go home. And listen, in Iowa State, any of those schools, they're going to do whatever they want, you know, because they need that more. Because they have no options. They don't want to end up in the Mountain West Conference as a non-Power 5.
Yeah. Well, in the immediate term, you want to talk about immediate effect. What's going to happen is Houston does not get in the Big 12, you go ahead and kiss Tom Herman goodbye,
yep.
Okay? Because he's gone. There's no reason for Tom Herman to stay in the G5 if Houston is not going to be plucked by the Big 12. I still, in my mind, Mark Helfrich is going to be gone because Washington is going to go into Beaverton and walk the dog this weekend. Mark Helfrich is as good as gone. I still think the best landing spot for Tom Herman is at Oregon with Phil Knight, what he could do up there. But if you listen to the reports today, you know, I think it's absolutely shameful the way Charlie Strong's being treated at Texas, but it looks like if you read Bruce Feldman's column today, he says, look, they're going to make a move. Tom Herman will be the next head coach at the University of Texas.
Well, the thing is you know, Charlie Strong's being his worst enemy and the fact he's now fired 8 assistants in less than 3 years. So I can look and see why Texas is going, there is no stability here, much less any improvement.
Well, the problem is when you're going to change up some philosophies and what you're trying to do, and you do it with the same bodies you had under the old system. Now, they did bring in a few new guys, but they simply, a lot of it, they were trying to change up their philosophy offensively, especially and also defensively, but you're doing it with the same coaches.
All right, Diesel, hold your question till we get back because I don't want to mess this break schedule up, and we'll go with that. Don't forget, we'll talk more about what may be happening with this Georgia-South Carolina game at 5:05 when Jake Rowe from 24/7 Sports covers the Georgia Bulldogs is going to join us in Straight Up with Sturge on a secret location with a whole lot of co-workers, and we're going to have some fun tonight, but you can get in with us at 844-GSB-ESPN.
This is Straight Up with Sturge on the Upstate's new home for the worldwide leader in sports, ESPN Upstate.
Listen in Greenville.
105.9 FM and 1330 AM. Spartanburg. 97.1 FM and 950 AM. This is Straight Up with Sturge on ESPN Upstate.
So welcome back in. Price, look around us in this room. Does this have a chance to get dangerous tonight?
Yes, sir.
Okay, then I could use that. All right, listen, we just added a guest.
Yes, you could.
It's 6:35, Andy Benoit from Sports Illustrated, who is part of the Monday Morning Quarterback with our good friend Peter King from Sports Illustrated. So we'll get more up-to-date on some things with the NFL. More importantly to you guys, at 6:05, we're going to do Name That Tom, and I'm going to be the contestant. I did not go back and listen to the podcast or anything. This is going to be a complete and total surprise. That I got the feeling, guess what? I'll
you
be the butt of y'all's jokes today. That's cool.
You should be completely fine
smart.
On this. Yeah, Serge, you're pretty up to it when it comes to pop culture and some of these people, so I don't think you'll have
right.
any problems.
So, okay.
Diesel, I'm going to go ahead and put my few pennies in my wallet. Yes, I keep change in my wallet.
You have your little, what was it, back
oh,
in the
I have
day
a zipper with,
zipper
with it. I have Velcro and everything.
Yeah, what were those things called? Everybody had to have one at
yeah,
one
I'm
point.
Yeah, I'm a total loser.
Okay.
So
a coin purse?
I'm going to put all my pennies,
yeah,
all, yeah my too. Coin purse, 9 for 9. He will successfully
show,
go 9 for 9, D's. I will be shocked if he does not go 9 for 9.
You know, I'm
and
yeah.
speaking
tell you,
of nine. Speaking of nine, who's over at the next table, I may have to get him. It may have to be nine and I at the same time. How about that? We'll battle it off.
Can we go ahead and tell him, Diesel, that we spumoni'd the entire show yesterday?
I did see that on Twitter. And I have a listener, if he's out there, I got to apologize to last night because something's coming up with I guess Mount Vernon or Monticello, and y'all got it wrong last night. And he sent me a tweet, and of course, that's why you stay off Twitter. When
is he still on that? For God's sakes, we corrected it, and now he's on like level 3 of of butthurt about
just
this.
Busted y'all's chops, and I misread it, and I completely, completely apologize. But Diesel, before we went out to break, you had a question, so let's pick up on that. Is again, we will go to the guest lines next with Jake Rowe from 24/7 Sports, who covers the Georgia Bulldogs.
Well, my question is actually really not all that important, but you know, if the SEC is the first team to go to a 16-team mega conference, that's going to force the hand of the other four Power Five leagues, or other three, to add on and to match it, and obviously Notre Dame's going to be forced to jump into the ACC full time.
Yep.
Or at least that's what we assume. The question is, if you're the ACC, who is that one more team that you go after? Do you try to go after a West Virginia?
UConn.
Do you try to a UConn, or maybe try to get a Maryland back? I don't know.
Nah, because I don't think Maryland, they signed their life away to join the Big Ten. So I don't think that's a possibility. I think what you do, first of all, you can't knock Notre Dame's basketball program. My God, they made, what, two ACC tournament
finals? They have a solid baseball program as well?
They got a pretty good baseball program. But what you do, and UConn does as well, but you strengthen up football with Notre Dame's image. You strengthen up basketball with UConn's heritage.
I completely agree.
Yeah,
And where do you think
academic profile?
In that case, do you think West Virginia maybe lands in the Big Ten, or do you think they're one of those teams that's on the outside looking in?
No, I think they would make a play for the ACC and then figure out what happens. You know, West Virginia. It's a fascinating question. All it depends on the first domino falling and seeing how much everybody freaks out. So, you know, it's going to be a scramble to get it in. Listen, let's go to the phone lines. Jim wants to talk some college football. Jim, welcome in. Hope you're having a good day.
That was exactly my question. What I was going to ask was, what if Notre Dame comes into ACC, who else are they going to add?
I think you take a long look at UConn. If it's because of the dissolvement, listen, either way, going to Morgantown or Stores, you're kind of screwed, Jim. You know what I mean? You might want to battle your way out of there. But I think, like I said, I think that would satisfy both parts of the equation, Notre Dame for football and then everything else they bring to the table. And then, of course, throw a bone to your basketball heritage, which that's Duke, North Carolina, those guys, and say we're also looking to improve your lot as well.
I think probably UConn, but I can't see where they help in football, but they really would help in basketball, you know.
Well, if you've got Clemson and Florida State and Notre Dame and Louisville continuing to do what they do, then you can afford to take a little bit of hit on the football end of things because Miami also back on the way as well. If you got out of a 16-team conference, six performing really, really well, I think that's enough strength. You've increased the strength of what somebody looked at this conference a few years ago and said it wasn't there football-wise.
That's true. The next question I want to ask you, Sturge, my man, when are you going to get out on the street and say –
I'm sorry, hit me with that one more time. I couldn't hear that amongst all these people.
When are you going to get out on the street and sing the Auburn fight song?
That's coming up. Price is going to give me a little bit of a break on this for a week or so. Aren't you, Price?
Well, I think I can give you another little break. You know why? We're going to need a break because we made a call last night, Diesel and I did, on the air, trying to get our Auburn listeners to help come forward with some bright orange and navy blue Auburn gear. Because we don't have any. I know you don't.
Well, listen, I will do it. I've got a couple things coming up, but I'm not going to welch on this bet. I just may need a little bit of an extension. Is that fair?
I think that's fair.
All right. Here coming up, Jake Rowe from 24/7 Sports is going to join us. He covers the Georgia Bulldogs, but don't forget a couple of things. Make sure you go on to ESPNUpstate.com and you get your picks in ahead of Thursday night's NFL game on our Pro Pigskin Pick'em contest, because that season-long contest is going on this week for the – let me make sure I get this week right. Next week's winner is going to receive a $50 gas card to Spinks, an Arctic Cove price pack. Arctic Cove, go look it up. Really cool coolers and that kind of gear. The gentleman's service package from Liberty Fine Shaves and Cuts, which includes a cut, a wash, and a styling, $20 Tip It Back Sports Grill gift card. You and Diesel, if that's what you choose to do, with your two tickets to Shine Down and Five Finger Death Punch at Bon Secours Wellness Arena. Anyway, two tickets to that concert on December 5th, a $50 gift card.
What do you mean, anyway?
Whatever.
It's just five fingers.
I know you want to go to this concert. Think about how much fun a listener could have if they win these two tickets and say, Diesel, I saw your ride along with that Spartanburg police officer. I'd like for you to ride along down to me to Bon Secours Wellness Arena.
I
see
like
what I'm
tone.
Doing there?
I like where your head is at.
I like your tone as well. I like your tone as well. Speaking of, Jake Rowe from 24/7 Sports, who covers the Georgia Bulldogs, he'll be with us up on the other side. Again, Andy Benoit from Monday Morning Quarterback on Sports Illustrated at 6:35 here on Straight Up with Sturge, live on a secret location. May have a fun with some of our cohorts as well. As Straight Up with Sturge will continue when we return.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.